My name is Paola Testa. I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another project by Anthony Gourmet in Trafalgar Square. It's the 22nd of July 2009 at 9:20 a.m. Could you please tell me your full name, your date of birth, and where you're from?
My name is Michael Lawrence Dundas Figures. I live in London. I was born in Carlisle and raised in East Africa till I was 8. And then I lived in Newcastle till I was 18. And then I moved to London to study, and I've been here ever since.
What enabled you to move around so much whilst you were growing up?
My father was kind of Irish colonial, so he was born in Nairobi. And so we went back to where he came from, sort of. And then moved back to England, actually to my mother's family in Carlisle. And then I've sort of been based in England ever since.
And how would you compare the different places that you've lived in?
Very, very different, you know, and all kind of in a very interesting way. So obviously East Africa is radically different from Carlisle, and Carlisle is very different from Newcastle. And then London, again, has a sort of a style and a character all of its own also.
Would you say that each area you've lived in has influenced what you're doing now?
The accumulation of areas. And then from, I would say, you know, late teens onwards, I've toured. So I've been a musician and an actor, and now I'm a filmmaker. And so that work has actually enabled me to travel all over the world as well. So I live in London. I'd say it's my base, but actually I spend quite a lot of the year traveling.
And where are some of the places that your work has taken you?
In the last 20 years, mainly America, because I'm a filmmaker, but also all of Europe, Italy, France, Scandinavia, Germany, and then more recently, China, Beijing, Hong Kong. I haven't been to Australia or New Zealand or that far, sort of an Antipodean kind of journey.
Would you like to make it that way?
I'm sure it'll happen sooner or later. I mean, I've had opportunities to go, but I've been busy and I couldn't go. And the same with China. So it wasn't until actually the last year that I was able to finally to find an excuse to go. And it was work, it was great.
So it sounds like you've had a very varied background. How did you get into the things you're doing now?
Through my own curiosity, really. So from a very early age, I wanted to be a musician. And that really was my ambition. I studied music, and then through a series of, coincidences and events, I then got involved in theatre, and through that, I got involved in film, and I also keep music going and all of that as well. So the sort of natural curiosity and kind of fascination with the arts as a way of thinking about the human condition, if you like, has been the thing that's motivated me.
And where did your interest in the arts stem from?
Music, initially. But, you know, even from a very early age, I wanted to draw. I did cartoons, and I was interested in all of the arts. And from a very early age, I had a clear idea that I wouldn't do one thing. I wouldn't just do music. I was interested in music work with theatre and how theatre worked with film and how these things all connect together, which is why I think this project is so interesting.
So how did you become involved with the project?
I do sort of artwork, installation work and so on, and I met Anthony Gormley, who I did an installation not far from here in Somerset House about a year ago, and Anthony came to the opening of that. And then I subsequently bumped into him at a few other events. And, you know, we always chatted in a very good... He's a very open, non-elitist kind of artist. And I knew about this project. I also know one of the main producers, Helen, who, when I had my own theatre company, actually was my kind of producer, administrator. So there are a lot of connections. I cannot tell a lie. And... Helen contacted me to say that Anthony was interested in someone, another artist making a film about the project from another point of view, and would I be interested in making that film? So I said, of course I would. So then I became involved in the setting up of the project in the last, let's say, 8 weeks before the project opened. So I started working with Anthony and the Sky Arts and dealing with the technical aspect of, you know, cameras and sound and how the webcast would also work. So it being sort of parallel universe, which is really, really interesting. So you have the universe of the square, the theatrical physical space, and people shouting up, get your clothes off, or what it is they shout. And then you have, a much more interesting contemporary reality, which is the internet. So I was asked to go on today because I'm on the reserve list, and I thought it would be useful to go on and talk about the technical possibilities of the, what I call the second reality, because I've been watching on and off and filming here, and I see that people don't really know how to exploit the cameras and the sound in a way that I think would be more interesting for them. And maybe that's just because it hasn't really been explained fully, or, you know, people get very nervous and they go up there for an hour and they react to what they see. That's human nature.
And so how exactly will you be getting that message across from the flip? What will you be telling people?
Well, I've actually made an arrangement with the technical crew upstairs. I just went half an hour ago and I said, look, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to you on the microphone and to people on the internet, obviously, and I'm going to explain one by one what the cameras do and how you can use the sound, and we'll do it as a kind of almost like a flight attendant, you know, showing the safety exits and where the seatbelts are and all of that, just to explain it actually in I hope in sort of layman's language, you know.
And so do you think that will help the people that follow you onto the plinth use the resources a bit more efficiently?
Well, I hope so. Also, I think I hope it liberates a little bit the technical crew upstairs to be more adventurous also. Because I think, you know, as you pointed out, it's almost 400 people into the 1,400 person project. So there's a long way to go yet. And I think talking to Anthony, there was always the idea that this would be an organically developing project. And I'm sure you found that too, that, you know, you kind of grow in the way that you talk to people, and, you know, so everybody started from scratch, you know. And I've visited a couple of times. I have tried to help, you know, quite a young crew here, yourself and everybody working here, and great enthusiasm and energy. And so I've been trying to say, look, you know, you can do more with the cameras. You could be more adventurous yourself, you know, because people are watching this, and often people go up there and they don't really want to do anything much except stand and be a statue. That's fine. But at the same time, Trafalgar Square is full of information. It's amazing. And when the times I've been filming here, I've noticed that people, you know, you obviously you establish who's on the plinth, and then really what your eye gets drawn to is all the people going to work or going home from work, or in the middle of the night, people kind of wandering around, you don't quite know who they are, you know. So Trafalgar Square has this amazing sort of magnetism for people, you know. And then the other night, there were 10,000 people watching opera. Today, there's a sort of bouncy castle, you know, athletic center. I mean, it's wacky.
So had you always known, since you discovered you'd be going up, that that's what you want to do?
No, I got the call last night. So I haven't had a lot of time to prepare. And then I immediately thought, well, number one, it would be great for me to take a camera up there, because that would get a point of view of what the plinth people see, which I never was going to have that opportunity. So this is, if nothing else, I get footage to cut into my documentary, which gives the point of view of the people. And then I thought, oh, well, you know, it's an hour. It's a long time and it's a short time. I'll try and do as much as I can to sort of help as well when I'm up there. I'm also going to play some music, because I think people also are expecting to be entertained. So I brought a little trumpet with me, and I'm gonna play trumpet.
What will you be playing?
I've no idea. I'll improvise. I thought maybe, because there's so many statues around, it would be nice to play a sort of quite sad sort of bugle type thing, you know, Last Post, because all these kind of heroes. There's lots of heroes in Trafalgar Square.
So your career as a musician, were you a trumpet player?
Trumpet. I studied music, so I did trumpet, I did guitar, did piano, and I'm playing bass as well now. So, I mean, I play a lot of instruments and I compose, so again, a bit like what I said earlier, I remain fascinated by, if I see a new instrument, I kind of go, I want to know how it works, you know, so I'll try and learn it.
So you continue to, with your music interest?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, really, you know, life is short, and in the time that you have, you really need, you sort of should devote yourself to learning as much as you can about everything. And, you know, I don't believe that anyone ever arrives anywhere in terms of perfection. You just continue to learn, you know. And I think, you know, for me, philosophically, that's been the most important thing.
So you mentioned that you're creating a documentary from a certain point of view. Would you tell us what that point of view is?
It's purely my point of view, but with the factor of an arbitrary, attendance. So a little bit like the project. I mean, obviously, I could look at lists and go, oh, someone's going to do something really spectacular, or someone's going to take their clothes off, or someone's going to sing an opera, and those will be really exciting. On the other hand, I think it's interesting people who just really don't have maybe something to say. They just want experience and represent part of the country, you know? So I like the idea of almost arbitrarily turning up and, in the documentary, representing the different times of day and night. And I don't mind if nothing happens. A couple of times I've been here, nothing happens. A couple of times there've been really interesting things going on. Interesting in the sense of dynamic, you know, like someone played the guitar and, you know, it was kind of nice to listen to.
Are there particular participants that have stood out to you so far?
No, I'm more interested in the big picture. I'm interested in the square, actually. I think this is, as much as anything, is a focus on Trafalgar Square as a focus on London, as a focus on Britain, you know, and I think it's very appropriate, you know, and I think the fourth plinth has always been an interesting, I love what Mark Quinn did, and, you know.
So does Trafalgar Square have any special meaning to you?
Well, you know, when I lived in Newcastle when I was a schoolboy, I remember coming here on my way to a skiing holiday, so we stopped off in London, and so this is one of the first places in London I remember, number one, I remember the lions. I think I even have a picture of me, you know, like a trillion other people standing there. And then I've done events in here as well myself. I did something for the London Film Festival with a giant screen projected a couple of years ago for their 50th anniversary. So I have a strong connection to Trafalgar Square. I like it, you know, I think it's good. And I like what it represents. You know, every city, like Times Square for New York, and, you know, all the cities have a sort of a Trafalgar Square, and it's important. You know, it's a kind of slightly corny visual heart of a city. You know,
what does it mean to you to be a part of the project?
I think it's great. I mean, you know, I think it's an honor. You know, to be part of a collective. You know, it's a project that tries to unify, and in a good way, in a non-political, territorial way. Like, you know, we're British and we're proud of it. I don't care about any of that. But I like the idea of Britain as being a collection of different people, you know, who more or less get on, you know, more or less harmoniously coexist. And it's such a multi-ethnic culture we live in now, thank God, you know, because it definitely got better, you know, once we allowed it to be much more that way. And then, so the idea of being part of something that represents that, I think, is great.
Do you think we have captured or will capture a portrait of the UK?
I do. I absolutely do. You know, whatever happens, you know, it might be dull, it might be interesting, it might be both at different times, it will be. For sure. And what's really, really good about the project is the 100 days. It's enough time to actually, as you say, it feels like it's been on forever, and we're only 400 people in, you know, not even yet.
Do you have any expectations about what it will be like to be up on the plinth?
Yes, I do, yeah. I think the very thing that I would encourage other people to do, I will have to deal with myself, which is, once you're up there, you are on stage. And you will have to address both realities, And I know technically what's going on and what I can do, but I'll still have to deal with, you know, the idea of there's an audience. Even if they're just walking past on their way for a coffee, they will glance up and kind of go, what's going on? And there'll be this kind of a little bit of pressure, a little bit of incentive to actually do something for them, to entertain them. You know, that's what happens when you get on the stage, you know.
So would you say you're going up as a filmmaker or as a performer or as a leader?
That's what's really interesting is I keep having to tell myself it's all of them, you know. And, you know, I used to do a lot of acting, so I used to love being on stage, you know, showing off and, like, you know, making people laugh and all of that. So I don't know. It'll be really interesting. Because also I had no preparation. It's not like all these people who've been kind of getting 10 or 2 months, or 3 months, whatever. You're like going, it's getting closer. Like I say, I got a call last night. So I went, okay.
Did you flow naturally from music into acting? Would you tell us more about your acting?
Well, it was kind of, you know, performance art. So it wasn't like you're suddenly joining the Royal Shakespeare Company and you have to learn Shakespeare. It was very much a kind of improvisation-based kind of form. And, you know, I continued to play music, you know, as well as acting. So there was like, it was sort of seamless in a way. And I did that for 10 years. And then I formed my own company and I started developing ideas with film. And so the segue into film was also kind of, in a way, quite seamless. In a sense that they were all things that were kind of interesting and, you know, to be learned, you know, with great interest, you know. So, and again, that's what I like about this project is the idea that it's not specifically, you know, one thing or the other. You can sort of do what you want. And there will be such a huge range of people and talent and things that people go out there. And a lot of people are using it politically, you know. It seems that's the most obvious thing is to use it as a soapbox, you know. So I arrived this morning at about 6:30 and, you know, we've had Save the Bees and gay football and something to do with Scotland now. And so I'll be the first of the people I've seen not going up there with a banner saying, you know, support this cause or this project.
When you heard about the project and spoke to did you apply to?
No, because I knew I was going to make a film. So, you know, part of that, say, documentary philosophy is that, you know, you are outside it, observing it. You're not connected. The fact that this comes up, if you like, sort of accidentally, I think is okay. And I will just use the opportunity.
And now that you are going up, who would you say that you're doing it for?
Well, I'm doing it obviously for myself and I'm doing it for the project, you know, as sort of this kind of collective idea. I haven't thought about it in those terms about who it's for or whatever, you know.
Do you hope to have any sort of impact by going up on the plinth?
Only a user-friendly one, which would be to make it easier for other plinth people, you know, like literally, as I say, just to sort of kind of talk through the possibilities. And it might be interesting for people to see just what technically can be done, you know.
We're trying to get a picture of the people who are going up on the plinth. Would you tell us the things that are important to you in your life at the moment?
I think on a personal level, just your health and your well-being. There's an economic crisis, so the idea of, on a national level or international level, the hope that things are changing. I don't have a problem with the crisis. In fact, I welcome it. I think a lot of people do. People are really kind of ready for change. Of a much more kind of benevolent social kind of change as well. Less greed, less post-Thatcherite hedonism and all of that. I think people have had enough of greedy individuals and the idea that a bit more kind of caring towards each other, actually. And I think these things become more important, you know.
Is that something you think has changed over the years?
I think in the last year, that's something people have started to think about in a healthier way. brought on by a banking crisis and the world economic crisis, and it makes them start to think about themselves, and they see that they have a context. They're not just, as I say, the post-Thatcher idea of everyone for themselves, and a kind of, you know, and really the kind of very nihilistic psychology that kind of spawned. I'd be more than happy to see that go.
And I'm conscious that we need to get you prepared to go up. So how would you summarise your experience of the project since you first became involved?
Well, you know, it's entirely special because I am involved. So I'm not like a kind of a regular plinther. But I've observed real cynicism in the press, certain elements of the press, and certain elements of the art market, which I totally understand because it's something that you can't make money from, and it's something that doesn't have a tag, and it's something that isn't elitist. And I found that really interesting. And on the day that it opened, you know, I actually heard art critics really sort of slagging it off and, you know, writing very tabloid kind of response to it. And I'm always shocked in England when I see that, you know, that it's one of the things that makes us a very suburban nation. Not the people, but the media, and more and more. I think in the last years, you know, our media dignity has gone down the toilet, and there's a lot of lowest common denominator writing, and I think that's a shame. But I think the project will sustain and prove itself. So it's, you know, it's quite nice to start like that actually, because you can only kind of improve.
Right. And is there anything else you'd like to add or tell us before we finish that we might not have?
No, I think your questions were great. Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you.
My pleasure.